Hare Krishna. So on this auspicious occasion of disappearance of Srila Prabhupada, we'll try to discuss some pastimes of Prabhupada. I feel it's very easy to speak on philosophy and maybe pastime of Krishna, but very difficult to speak about Prabhupada, Gurudev and Shikshagurus. So let's see how much we can discuss. Wherever we can stop it, stop. So I thought of taking one section, the first section where Srila Prabhupada lands in New York, and a bit before and a bit after that. Very, very intense section. We were just analyzing about Srila Prabhupada's journey. If anyone hears about Prabhupada's entire journey of setting up ISKCON, if that person is skeptic, he will not believe in all this. What is this? How is it possible? It's very illogical if you properly analyze. Let's understand the condition of Prabhupada before going to West. Now see, before going to West, so Prabhupada, he was there in pretty old, 69 years. And in this condition, no money. And he tried various things. Even while he was in India, he tried various things. His business, when he was a Grihastha, his business flopped many times. And then when it comes to preaching, he started some preaching. League of Devotees, Jhansi. Even that failed. So there were a lot of setbacks like that. Then talking about support system, Prabhupada was all alone. No support system as such. He was all alone. When it comes to support system in India, he was alone. When it comes to support system in West, all alone. In fact, no setup on the other side. Now whenever we go to some place, we make sure that the room is booked, the vehicles are booked to go around, and prasadam is booked. Whenever we go for yatra, all these things are taken care. Accommodation, travel, prasadam. Prabhupada has no clue about all this. What is going to happen on the other side? No setup. And someone should be there to receive at least in a new place. Prabhupada has never gone to West. No one is there on the other side to receive Srila Prabhupada. Now see, even if all these things are not there, at least if you have money, you can do anything. This is how this material works, especially in this century. No money also. And now, even when all these things are there, but if the crowd is very good on the other side, very submissive, now it feels very nice when you give a class to a very submissive crowd. They are nodding head for everything that you say. I was giving a class to a very submissive crowd, just revising the last session. So I said, in the last session we talked about body and soul. So yes, we all have agreed that we are the body and not spirit soul. And everyone is like, one boy realized, then no, we are spirit soul, not body. And okay, thank you. So it's very easy. But then the crowd on the other side, whom Prabhupada was going to preach, was a very, very nice crowd, very amazing crowd, very difficult to find, especially in the temple setup. Hippies. People who left their home, really frustrated, drug addicted, women enters, meat eaters, just lying on the road naked. Such type of people. Here, once in Gita course, when we found that the participants were not wearing proper clothes, they were wearing full clothes, but it was not proper, we announced, saying from next time onwards, please cover your bodies and come. I can imagine. Now, what will the situation of Prabhupada? Once the Prabhupada was taken to one place by the disciples, so they told to Prabhupada that we have to go for a preaching program. And Prabhupada would be ready for any preaching program any time of the day. Even middle of the night, we wake him up, maybe he'll be ready. He said, okay, let's go. And then Prabhupada started singing Jai Radha Madhavan. No one was there when he entered. So he sat and he started singing. Because one of the instructions to him was, speak Bhagavatam even if no one is there. He was singing. And no one was there. But when he opened his eyes, he could find all nude people there. No clothes. Both male and female. No clothes. Now just imagine, what would have Prabhupada said? Now Prabhupada was very, very witty. Prabhupada would look at time, place, circumstance and speak. So he said, it's very nice, all of you are so detached, you have given up your clothes. But actually, giving up these clothes will not give us any happiness. This body is also like a cloth. Vasam si jinani yatha vihaya. So once we give up this body, at that time we'll be very happy. And the entire crowd would resonate with what Prabhupada was teaching. So like this many, many times. So this was the crowd, this was the setup. And what was he planning to preach? He was planning to preach exactly opposite to what the culture was. Meat eating, gambling, illicit sex, intoxication. And Prabhupada was going to say, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. Completely opposite. And even see, when all these things are there, completely opposite, no money, etc. At least there should be a plan. If there is a plan, how to get the land, how to get money, how to get people. What is the preaching strategy? Okay, we have 9 sessions and after that another 9 sessions. At least some plan. Then still we can think of preaching. But here, this person has no plans. No plans at all. And with this, Prabhupada goes to West. In such a situation, he goes to West. Now, it was a nice analysis. After maybe say hundreds of years, if this is told to people in general, that old man from India, 70 years, he traveled in a cargo ship, he goes to West, and he converts all the hippies to happies, and he gives the Indian culture which they never knew. People would say, come on, it's a mythology. Like, people talk about this. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 500 years ago, in the forest of Jharkhand, when he was chanting and dancing in ecstasy, the tigers and deers would dance in ecstasy and come and embrace each other. Now, this is really crazy. It's very difficult to accept. When tiger sees the deer, only thing he'll chant is Mahaprasadigo. He'll not chant anything else. But here they are chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this becomes very difficult for people to accept now when we speak about this particular pastime. Similarly, in future, it will be very difficult for people to accept that in a place called Bauri, where all the people were hippies, drug addicts, they were chanting on the tune of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This will be similar. Very, very difficult to accept at that time. So this was the condition. But the mood of Srila Prabhupada was very, very proper. Completely immersed in the consciousness of Vrindavan. He was always feeling separation from Vrindavan, always. In fact, I was hearing in one of the Bhagavad Gita class. So I just played some class and I was hearing. So in the middle of the class, Prabhupada says that I want to go back to Vrindavan. This place is horrible. Just out of nowhere. He's speaking body soul and suddenly he says, that I want to go back to Vrindavan. I want to stay here. And if we properly analyze, Prabhupada had a very good position in Vrindavan. He was staying for a good number of years in Radha Damodar Mandir. He was like a Babaji there. So many other Babajis knew him very well. And when it comes to his status, he was known as an author already because he was writing books. He was given this title Bhakti Vedanta also. So like this, Prabhupada had a very, very good status in Vrindavan. He could have just stayed back in Vrindavan. His every devotee wishes that at the end of life he should stay in Vrindavan. But this personality, he leaves Vrindavan. Now, when he's leaving Vrindavan, and again, why is he saying that I want to go back to Vrindavan? When he left Vrindavan, he should accept the fact now he's out of Vrindavan. And why he should speak about this, that I want to go back to Vrindavan? He wants to be in Vrindavan, but he cannot be in Vrindavan because there's an instruction given by the spiritual master, go to West and preach. So Prabhupada says, I want to go back to Vrindavan, but my spiritual master has given me this instruction to preach this very important message of Supreme Personality of Godhead in English language in the Western countries. And for that he sacrificed Vrindavan. Now he boarded the ship Jaladuta. After a very, very long tug of war with the various places, for the ticket, for... Switch it off. A lot of tug of war at various places. For the ticket, for various papers,
etc., etc. So many things. So after a lot of struggle, finally he got the ticket, and then he boarded the cargo ship Jaladuta, 9 a.m. Friday, August 13th. The Jaladuta ship starts from India. And a lot of things happened on the ship, as we all know. It was first time that Prabhupada is traveling. Prabhupada has traveled many times on the boat from one island to another in Navadvip. Yes, it takes 5 minutes. But here, it was in the ocean. Middle of the ocean, nothing you can see around. It is only and only water. You're in the middle of the ocean and you just look, all the four sides is only water. And Prabhupada was feeling a lot of seasickness, a lot of vomiting, two heart attacks, and so many other problems. And in this comes Janmashtami. August 20th was Janmashtami. And Prabhupada celebrated Janmashtami on the ship. He cooked prasadam for all the passengers or all the people who were there on board. It was the captain, Pandya, and his wife and other crew members. And he gave the class also on that particular day on the ship. It's very difficult for a devotee of the Lord to keep quiet. Wherever they will be there, they'll speak about Krishna. And this Prabhupada is proving. And 21st August, Prabhupada turned 70 on the ship. It is very difficult to digest this fact. He could have stayed back in Vrindavan and celebrated his 70th anniversary. But on the ship, his personality turned 70. And he didn't reveal it to anyone. It was just, Prabhupada was just chanting the holy names on his beads. And he was reading. In this entire turmoil what Srila Prabhupada was going through, through, you know, the health problems and so much of seasickness and heart attack, etc., etc. So in this, Prabhupada writes in his diary that only solace which I had was Chaitanya Charitamrita. You can imagine that so much of problem, especially health problem. Whenever we have some health problem, it becomes very difficult to do anything. I have seen this personally in my case. Whenever little cold or little fever or pain, back pain or whatever, it becomes very difficult to chant rounds with complete focus. And here you see, there's a difference between a pure devotee and a sadhaka. So a pure devotee is relishing Chaitanya Charitamrita even amidst so much of chaos when it comes to health problem and other things. And finally, Srila Prabhupada, he comes to the Western Harbour. Before getting down from the ship, Prabhupada did a very, very important thing, very inspiring to all of us. He sold Srimad Bhagavatam to captain and his wife. When I was reading for the first time, I was going crazy reading this. That his mood is very clear. Why is he going and what is his mission? Very, very clear. Before getting down, he sold. Now when he got down, he hardly knows where he's supposed to go. Now once in Mathura, he had met one person, personality, Agarwal. So there he told his plan that his spiritual master has ordered him to go to West and preach this wonderful message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and deliver those people. So he shared this plan. In fact, Prabhupada used to share his plan to each and every person whom he used to meet. Like that he shared to this person also. So Agarwal said, okay, no problem. In US, I've got my son and daughter-in-law. So they will help you out. Don't worry. They'll provide you all papers. They'll provide you accommodation. Don't worry about that. So now, many times this personality, Agarwal, he has helped many saints. So whenever any saint would say he wants to go to West to preach, he would say that, okay, no, I'll arrange everything. But never ever any saint went, not to West, to this people, to the son and daughter-in-law of Agarwal. Their name were Gopal Agarwal and Sally Agarwal. So Gopal Agarwal is Indian. So we understand that he went for engineering and then he got married to a white-skinned personality there. So she was Sally Agarwal. Now, no one came to their house. Every time father would say that some saint will come, but no one came to their house. But Prabhupada wrote a personal letter to Gopal Agarwal saying, I am coming. Now when he read the letter, they were really terrified. Because they were only Indians at that particular place, it seems. In that particular community, only Indians. So they were totally terrified. Not because a saint is coming. They were thinking, what we will tell others about this personality. So Prabhupada has come. And before Prabhupada comes to their house, Sally Agarwal, you know, she did a very nice thing. She was thinking, you know, it will be very difficult to go and tell everyone who this personality is. Firstly, he'll be in saffron robes. It will be very weird for people around who will be in pant shirt, coat tie. So she said, I should do something. She gave an advertisement in the paper saying that a saint is coming from India to talk about bhakti yoga. So her mood was not to make Prabhupada famous, but her mood was to tell everyone that such a person is going to stay with us. Don't come and ask us who is he. That was the mood of Sally Agarwal. That's how she published everywhere. So I was just meditating on this, that how nice. Before Prabhupada comes to West, already people know that Prabhupada is coming. And then Gopal Agarwal sent a person to this Boston Harbor, where that person helps Prabhupada to board a bus. Now Prabhupada is sitting in the bus and he started traveling. Now you see the mood of a devotee. Many Indians hanker to go to West. Especially in South India there is a craze, especially in Andhra. You ask people, now going to West, they are very very happy. Very happy. It's almost like dham. You go and touch the place and come back, you'll go back home back to Gauri. Going back home, I don't know, but dowry will be more. This is what I've heard. Not only, you know, these, but many, many people in India, they want to go to West. You ask any engineering student after finishing the fourth year, final year, what you will do. I'll go to West, do MS. If money is there from a good family, this person, you know, personality will say this, that I'll go to West and, you know, do MS there and settle there and things like that. And people hanker for that green card. Hanker for that green card. As if it's a visa back home back to Godhead. People hanker for that. But Prabhupada, when he came to West, when he landed in Boston Harbor, he became very, very sad. Very sad. He looked at the entire setup there and he was so sad thinking that how people are suffering here. When Indians go to West, they're very happy. Oh, such a clean place and such big, big towers and such nice four-lane road and so on and so forth. But Prabhupada, when he landed there and when he was traveling from bus from Boston Harbor to Butler, Pennsylvania. So at that time, Prabhupada is looking at the big, big buildings and the glittering lights and so on and so forth. And Prabhupada is thinking, this is just hellish. There is no Krishna consciousness here. Prabhupada is feeling so sad and so compassionate to each and every person there. Recently, I read one article about Prabhupada in one of the app. So there, Prabhupada was on a morning walk. It was only compassion of Srila Prabhupada which delivered many, many souls, including us. It was only compassion. Prabhupada was on a morning walk and there he saw that one person was preparing for playing baseball? Yeah, baseball. Baseball. So, there he was preparing, was practicing. So, Prabhupada looked at that person. Tears started flowing in his eyes and Prabhupada said, why this person is wasting even form of life? You can imagine, now what was the mood of Srila Prabhupada? This is what is said maybe, that when a pure devotee glances on us, that time our devotional life starts. Maybe some pure devotee has glanced on us. Because of that, we are sitting here today and discussing about another pure devotee. Once Prabhupada was sitting in Mayapur and he was giving class and Prabhupada was saying, see the mood of Prabhupada. Prabhupada was saying that we are sitting in the center of the entire world. This is the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now this was initial days of Mayapur where nothing was there. It was just a cottage. No TOVP, no Chakra, Gadha and other buildings. Nothing was there. Only that hut. And in that Prabhupada is sitting and giving class to few people. There he says, we are sitting in the most auspicious place, the center of the entire world. And then after, you know, when ISKCON was set up at different places, he was giving a class in Detroit. A very, very posh place. So that place Prabhupada is sitting. Prabhupada is sitting and giving class and he's saying, we are sitting in a very, very remote place of this entire world. You can imagine what is Prabhupada's mood. Center of the entire world is Mayapur and the remote place is that advanced city called Detroit. This is the mood of a pure devotee. Pure devotee is not moved by any glitter and glamour of this world. Pure devotee is just moved by bhakti. like Krishna is more just by bhakti. So now, Prabhupada has got 3 months visa. Only 3 months visa. So Prabhupada is traveling in August, September, October, November. These 3 months he has. Now he comes to the place of Sally Agarwal and Gopal Agarwal. Very nice thing to discuss. What happened in this house? So Sally Agarwal was not very much interested to host a sadhu at home. Because Indian sadhu, orthodox, so she was feeling that there will be a lot of restrictions and it will be very difficult to take care of this person, so on and so forth. So she was not very happy when she heard that a sadhu is coming from West. It was almost like father-in-law coming. This is how her mood was. That now it was almost like father-in-law is coming to my house and will take care of my father-in-law. So this was the mood of Sally Agarwal, not very happy. But then, when Srila Prabhupada came there, so a lot of things changed in the house. Like for example, Prabhupada, firstly, he was very witty. He could easily mingle with people around. Not only with Sally Agarwal, Gopar Agarwal and daughter, but he could mingle with the guests also who would come. So when the guests would come, Prabhupada would talk to them. He would ask the name and he would remember the name. And next time when the guests will come, he'll address them with the name and the guests would be very happy. Oh, the sadhu knows our name. Like this, he was very, very friendly with everyone who was there at home. Even with Sally Agarwal. It used to happen many times that when Prabhupada would open the fridge to take his vegetables, he would find meat in the fridge. Sally Agarwal would know that in India, this is not a thing, they're vegetarians. Obviously, Agarwal, you can imagine from Mathura, they're pure vegetarians. So Gopal Agarwal was a pure vegetarian, but no, when we come in association of so some people, it becomes not totally ulta. So association matters. So here, when he came in association with this lady, so he also started having all these things. So non-veg was cooked in the house. Same kitchen where non-veg was cooked, Prabhupada would cook the bhoga for the lordships. So sometimes Sally Agarwal would feel very bad when Prabhupada would open the fridge and her face, you know, would go down. No, she will feel very low. And Prabhupada would look at Sally Agarwal and he could understand what Sally Agarwal is feeling. So at that time, Prabhupada would say, it's okay, not a problem. No, I'm okay with this. Not a problem. And Prabhupada, with such a pure heart, with such a compassionate heart, no, he would remove the vegetables. He would clean the kitchen very nicely. He would cook, not only for himself, but he would cook for everyone in the house. Can you imagine Prabhupada cooking and feeding everyone? How tasty it would be. How tasty it would be. And everyone in the house used to have this wonderful prasadam. And they would relish. They would relish prasadam. Prabhupada captured the heart of Sally Agarwal. He captured the heart of Gopal Agarwal. And he also captured the heart of their little daughter. So the little daughter, she just started going to school. And she was taught about Jesus. So when she would come back to house, she would call Prabhupada Swami Jesus. So in the entire time when Prabhupada stayed, for 1 month Prabhupada stayed in the house and the daughter would call him as Swami Jesus only. So in this way we see that Prabhupada captured their heart. There was a tight bonding which was there between Prabhupada and the Agarwal family and even the neighbors who were there around, because Prabhupada would go to walk around. There was a tight bonding between everyone. But Prabhupada was very focused. Prabhupada was focused that yes, I have come for a mission. One fine day, he decided that I'll go to New York. Never ever Gopal Agarwal, Sally Agarwal and daughter, they thought that Prabhupada would ever leave us. Now, 3 months visa, 3 months he'll stay with us and then he'll go back to India. But then this saint was a different saint. And Prabhupada just left. Same personality was not happy when Prabhupada came, was crying when Prabhupada was leaving their house. Sally was crying. This is how Prabhupada captured the heart of these Westerners. Prabhupada went to New York. Now the question is, where did the contact came for that New York? To go to New York, you need some contact. Where did this contact come from? So Prabhupada had met one personality again, you know, somewhere in Mathura, in New Delhi. So there he had discussed and then that personality had told, I know one person in New York. So when you go there, maybe you can take. So Prabhupada immediately, he noted down the contact. So contact collection comes directly from Prabhupada. This is not new. That is not new in ISKCON. Prabhupada started this. He took the contact. And then he directly went to that personality. Ramamurthy Mishra, a Mayavadi. Now Ramamurthy Mishra had a yoga school. And he would teach yoga there. And he would give Mayavad philosophy in that particular place. He knew very well Prabhupada is a follower of Bhakti Yoga. And he has come with a mission. He would never allow Prabhupada to speak. One day he allowed Prabhupada to speak. He gave 5 minutes. And Prabhupada spoke for 1 hour about Krishna. That was the last time he gave chance to Prabhupada to speak. Again, this comes from Prabhupada only. So whenever devotees are given little time, the devotees go on speaking. And what would Prabhupada do when Mishra would speak? Prabhupada would sit at the back and you just hear the entire Mayavad philosophy. Prabhupada is burning. Now he cannot just hear the Mayavad philosophy. You can see in the lectures how Prabhupada talks about Mayavadis. And he's directly hearing a class for Mayavadi. You can imagine what will be the situation of Prabhupada. Now he's sitting at the back. Always back benches will be just spaced out. So Prabhupada got those back benches. And then Prabhupada is telling him, he's all speaking bogus. Don't hear all this. And speaking about Krishna to these back benches. And then at the end for 10 minutes, Mishra, Dr. Mishra, he would give Prabhupada some opportunity to speak. Do kirtan. Only kirtan, no speaking. So he'd say, Swamiji, there's 5 minutes, 10 minutes left. Why don't you do kirtan? And Prabhupada would come and very nicely and sing. Prabhupada wanted chance to sing and speak about Krishna. He would go and sing. Now, you can imagine Mayavadi and Prabhupada, no, they don't go hand in hand. Whenever Prabhupada used to get chance, he would fight left and right with Mishra. He would not think, I'm staying in the house of a personality and if I fight with this person, I'll be thrown out. Nothing doing. He is a person who is very, very straightforward, very simple. Whatever is there, he'll just put it forward. He would tell Mishra, this is all bogus what you're speaking. All bogus. Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead and Bhagavad Gita is the essence of everything. What you're speaking is entirely bogus. And they would have tough fight. Sometimes they would scream and shout. But at the next moment, they'll be talking as friends. So I was hearing, this is what is Vedic culture. There'll be difference in philosophy, that's okay. But at the end of the day, the culture matters. And they treat each other as nice human beings. And they start dealing very nicely to such an extent. Once, Dr. Mishra fell ill. Sick. Deceased. He was not able to do anything at that particular point of time. Prabhupada used to personally cook for him and serve with so much of love and affection. To such an extent, Prabhupada captured the heart of Mayavadi also. This is what Prabhupada did. Prabhupada would take some chance and would talk to Mishra and ask for help. He would say, see, you're from India, you're such a great Sanskrit scholar. You can edit my books. No, I need a lot of help. You can edit my books. And you can help me with some money, by which we can build a temple. But Mishra would say, no, I'm busy for all these things. And then Prabhupada would say, see, you're a Mishra. You should actually speak about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You should actually help me to build a temple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father was Jagannath Mishra. So you have a connection there. But then Dr. Mishra was also intelligent. He would say, see, you don't need my help. Because you are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. You would speak Mayavad at that particular point. So like this, Prabhupada captured the heart of Dr. Mishra also. In fact, in one of the interviews after Prabhupada left this world. So Dr. Mishra, he says that I should have helped Prabhupada. This one guilty feeling is there in my heart. I feel very regret that I should have helped Prabhupada. No, I was not able to help him at that point of time. And then Prabhupada said, I will move out of this place. I'm not able to do anything. I am here for a purpose. Prabhupada never ever deviated from the purpose. Now just imagine in Butler, Pennsylvania, when he was staying at Sally Agarwal's place, everything was set. It was almost like family atmosphere. Almost like family atmosphere. Sally was treating him as father-in-law. Gopal Agarwal was treating as father. The daughter was treating him as Swami Jesus. It was set. The guests were very happy. The surrounding, the neighbors were very happy. Prabhupada would go to walk and he made some friends there also. It was very nice. It was set. Prabhupada would stay there for 3 months, had a nice time in West. He would have gone back and he said, I tried, it didn't work. What to do? But Prabhupada was one-pointed focus. Vyavasayatmika buddhi. He was just meditating on the instruction of his divine grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Go and preach. This was there in his head. 1 month in the house of Sally Agarwal. The next month he spent in the house of, in the place of Dr. Mishra. And he said, I will move out. And he went to another place, room number 302, in another apartment. Now, this Dr. Mishra, who was again very much attracted to Srila Prabhupada, he was shocked when he said, I'll move out. So he asked Prabhupada, see, when you go to other place, you have to pay rent. Where you'll get money from? That room costed $72. And Prabhupada describes that room as a train compartment. One compartment. Small place. Where hardly there is any ventilation or anything. So Dr. Mishra was like, why are you going out? Not to the place. You can stay here. What is the problem? You can stay for another 1 month. Your visa will get expired. Go back to India. But then Prabhupada was one point that he was thinking how to preach. Always he would think. Always he would meditate on the instruction of his spiritual master. He moved to that place. Now, in that particular place, he would keep his door open and he would start speaking about Krishna. He would start speaking from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. It is described that the first students of Prabhupada in that particular room were the students of Dr. Mishra from that yoga studio. Maybe those students whom we preached sitting at the back. So I was reading some places. So those students are giving interviews. Those students are saying that we very much like this old man. Very much like this old man. So Prabhupada, when we hear Prabhupada, he's very heavy when we hear his lectures and everything. But one-to-one interaction, we understand he is very soft. Soft like a butter. But when it comes to Siddhanta, when it comes to principle, he is hard like a thunderbolt. Everyone would love Srila Prabhupada. So they came there. Now Prabhupada started speaking. So now when Prabhupada started speaking, he directly started with philosophy. He would go on for hours together. Now these are people hearing first time some Indian philosophy. Now Prabhupada would talk about Krishna. And you would see a big question mark on the face of people and you say, you don't know Krishna? You'd speak out Bhagavad Gita, you don't know Bhagavad Gita? While Prabhupada was speaking, one person was, you know, reading some other book. And Prabhupada is calling out for attention. Prabhupada is saying, please listen to me. And that person was reading the book, he said, yeah, I'm listening, you continue. It's very difficult to digest this, Prabhupada speaking and, you know, people not listening. But Prabhupada would go on speaking. So one day, this question was asked by Dr. Mishra that how will you get the rent? So Prabhupada said, I have my books, I'll sell my books and get some rent. Get some money and I'll pay the rent. Almost every single day it is described that Prabhupada would go to different shops and try to persuade them to keep these books. He would say that keep the books and if these books are sold, then you give me the money. It's okay. No need to give money before it's sold. And every day Prabhupada would go and check if the books are sold or not. This was the everyday job of Srila Prabhupada. Now when all these things were happening, Srila Prabhupada also, he came across one personality from Ramakrishna Mission, Nikhilananda Swami. So he wanted to inquire. Now Prabhupada wanted to understand about this Western culture. Prabhupada wanted to understand how easy it is to give the Indian culture to these Western people. So this Swami, Nikhilananda Swami, he said, see, you can teach what you want to teach, but you have to change your way. You have to change your attire first. First, give up this dhoti kurta, which you're wearing, and wear pant, shirt, coat, tie. Start learning to eat from fork and knife and spoon. Start speaking in their language, in their accent. Then these people would come. And Prabhupada was point blank. No meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. No compromise on this. No compromise. Then in this, now last 1 month is remaining for visa to get expired. This was November, which is going on. Prabhupada is writing letters one after another to many, many people. Many people. When he was in Butler, Pennsylvania, at the house of Sally Agarwal and Gopal Agarwal, there Sumati Morarji, who gave the ticket to Srila Prabhupada, she wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada. Don't come back to India till your mission is accomplished. Prabhupada felt very nice. He remembered this. And then he wrote back to Sumati Morarji when this 1 month was remaining. So he wrote back to Sumati Murarji that I'm on this mission, please help me. I want to build a temple here. Now Prabhupada is so witty, so clever, so intelligent. Prabhupada said that I want to build a very big temple of Bal Gopal. Now Gaudiya Vaishnavas don't worship Bal Gopal. They worship Radha Krishna and Gaur Nithai. But Sumati Murarji was a Gujarati lady and they would worship Bal Gopal. So he wrote a letter saying that we would build a very big temple of Bal Gopal and you would get all the credits for that. You are such a pious Gujarati lady. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada writes this in the letter. Mm-hmm. But then there was no reply from the other side. Mm-hmm. Sumati Murarji, there was no reply from the side of Sumati Murarji. Then he wrote the letter to Tirtha Maharaj, who is one of the God brothers of Srila Prabhupada, president of Gaudiya Math at that time. So there, even Tirtha Swami, he said that, you know, I cannot help you. But Prabhupada would write, you know, very, very strong letters to Tirtha Maharaj. In fact, he wrote in one of the letters, I'm not here for sightseeing. I'm here to accomplish the words and the instruction of my spiritual master. Please help. These were the letters. And these were desperate letters what Prabhupada was writing. Desperate letters. Because 1 month is remaining. You can imagine the situation. Only 1 month is remaining for visa to get expired and there is no progress. No students as such. People are coming. They're not understanding what is happening. Prabhupada's thick Bengali accent. They're not able to understand what Prabhupada is speaking. And Prabhupada is speaking something weird. Now Prabhupada asks this question. Do you know who God is? So they said, no. They said, one mountain in Vrindavan called Govardhan is God. And all people are like, no. they're seeing stars. They don't know what Prabhupada is speaking. How can mountain be God? So these things are happening there and it's very difficult for Prabhupada to preach. And one important thing was there in his mind was he has to build a temple in New York. He wanted a big temple in New York where people can come and listen this wonderful message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One reporter, after many years, one reporter asked the Prabhupada that why are you building so many big temples? So the question was, what is the need of such big temples? You can just give in a very small room. All the sessions, what you want to give. Why you need such huge temples? All over the world you have built such big temples. So Prabhupada made a very wonderful statement. He said, I can give this pravachan and do kirtan sitting under a tree also. And I've done that before. We'll come to that point. I've done that before as well. But if I do that, will you people come to hear me? Only because we have such wonderful temples, people are coming and hearing. The reporter was blank. No comments after that. The reporters would ask something and Prabhupada would be like, point blank. He would just speak something and stick on to that. He'll not move across. He'll not deviate from his words. Again and again, he'll keep repeating the same thing. Once one reporter asked Srila Prabhupada that, now Prabhupada, there was an interview which is going on. Prabhupada, can you please tell us something about yourself? Prabhupada said, why should I tell you? So this is live. Now the reporter is hearing this for the first time. You can imagine live it is going on and the reporter is asking, can you please tell me something about yourself? Prabhupada is saying, why should I tell you? And then she changed the language. Prabhupada, we would like to know more about you. Then Prabhupada is like, why should I tell you? Now there was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada adjacent to him. And then at that time he told that, no, the reporter is asking you these questions because now here whenever an author comes, so they want to know more about the author. Then, oh, that is the case. Then, yeah, okay, ask me more questions. I'll tell you what it is. completely focused personality. So in this way, you know, Prabhupada in this particular situation, writing desperate letters to various people. He was writing letters to his friends. Again and again, he was writing letters to Sumati Murarji because he could see some hope from Sumati Murarji. But no reply from anyone. He wrote a letter to Indira Gandhi. She said, we cannot help. He wrote a letter to Padampad Singhania. Now, this personality is again a Gujarati, a very big businessman. So he wrote a letter and he could find some positive signs from there. And Padampad Singhania was very much interested in building a temple in New York. So a lot of letters were exchanged. Now we can see those letters. Those are there. All glories to Satswarup Maharaj. Only because of him we could have this wonderful book, Prabhupada Lilamrita. Literally, when we read this, we can imagine how much hard efforts these disciples have put to compile all these things together. They've literally gone to people and interviewed people. And they've asked that, you know, what did you feel about Prabhupada? These are the questions which are there. And all the people are saying, Prabhupada was very sweet. That's how they start their discussion. All glories to them. All glories. All glories. So in this, there are letters which are exchanged. So Prabhupada is writing letter that this is what is my plan. Now, before this, you can see there are no hopes of getting any temple. I mean, there are no hopes of getting any money, so no temple. When he's writing letters to Tirtha Maharaj, Sumati Maharaji and everyone, before Padambat Singhani. Still, when these letters were very negative, the replies were negative, sometimes no response. Even in that situation, Prabhupada was going around searching for a place. No money in hand, but going around searching for a place. He went to a place. So there, that place costed some $1,000. So Prabhupada said, no, this place is small. Pauper, no money in hand, was saying, this place is small. Then they showed him a place which is $10,000. Pretty good, good space. No, place is small. Then they showed him $20,000 this place. And he said, ah, this place is good. I think we should buy this. And he told that person, you wait, no, I'll buy this place. Still all negative replies and he's giving hope. No, you wait, no, I'll buy this place. It's very nice. It's very nice. Now when he's exchanging letters with Padampat Singhani, at that time what is happening is, Padampat Singhania has got his own ways. He has got his own conception of a temple. So he's saying that first there are two problems. One is foreign exchange. That was very difficult at that time. Padampat Singhania, he wanted a temple in West, in New York, in Indian architecture. Now you can imagine Indian architecture means a lot of people, a lot of money. And Indian architecture means Indians have to be sent from India to do that particular thing. But then Prabhupada was with the mood that first let's take a place, and just to satisfy Padampat Singhani, he said we'll build a dome on that. We'll take any place, we'll build a dome on that. But Padampat Singhani was not happy with this. He said no, we want in a proper way. Then Prabhupada wrote a very very nice letter to Padampat Singhani. He said, see, you're a Dwarkawala, so you're very particular about opulence. But I'm a Vrindavanwala, so I'm not okay with anything. I just want to start a temple for Krishna. So Dwarkawalas should cooperate with Vrindavanwalas. That's how we'll be able to preach in this place. But then again, there were letters from Padampat Singhania's place that this is what I need. Then Prabhupada said, okay, we agreed. He said, okay, you send people, we'll do it. I don't have anyone here, I'm alone. But then even Padampat Singhania, towards then he couldn't send anyone. And finally, the secretary of Padampat Singhania, he said, we are not interested in this temple. That's how this conversation was ended. No reply from anyone whom he's writing, other people whom he's writing. Again and again, he's writing desperate letters to Sumati Murarji. He writes a letter to Sumati Murarji, now saying, please help. No response from the other side. But then Prabhupada writes one letter to Sumati Murarji. He says that in future, Krishna consciousness is going to go around in the entire world. In future, there will be many temples all around the world. And there will be many disciples. I have a request to you. When my disciples come to India, please give them a free ticket on your voyage back to US when they want to come back. You can imagine that a pauper having no money, no response from anyone. And this personality is saying that please give free ticket to my disciples. So in this way, we see that the visa is almost about to end. No response. He's going around different places. Finally, he extends his visa. Now the visa gets extended on December, January and February. These 3 months he has to do something. Now see, when I say December, January, February, I'm talking about winter season. Now winter in West is really horrible. At least for people who stay in places like Vrindavan and other places, for them you can imagine it will be so difficult to stay in such a snowy weather. In fact, those 3 months, it is recorded that was the worst winter in West. Minus 15 degrees Celsius, something like that. So one day Prabhupada woke up and he opened his door and there was snow all around. And Prabhupada was puzzled and he was surprised, he's thinking, in one night, how come they all painted everything white? This was the question of Prabhupada had. And Prabhupada said, it's freezing. And Prabhupada says, it's freezing cold. You can imagine in the old age, whenever they're little cold, bones, you know, are very weak at that time. So there's a lot of pain. There'll be knee pain and a lot of joint pain and other things. You can imagine Prabhupada is 70. How much pain he'll be feeling at that particular point of time. And he's there in the transparent dhoti, transparent kurta, just having one coat. You can imagine the situation. And in that situation, you just go around and you see in those shops if the Bhagavatam sets are sold or not. So this was the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Completely is going around like this. One day Srila Prabhupada was sitting in the garden on the bench. Mr. Rubin, the conductor of one of the buses, he saw Prabhupada. He was curious, you know, to see the saffron robes and bald head and things like that. He went to Prabhupada and he inquired, you know, who are you and what are you doing here and things like that. So Prabhupada, in a very grave voice, he looked at him and he said, we have got many temples. We have got many books. We have got many people, many disciples all around the world. Now other person, he knew very well he's lonely, he has nothing. So he's thinking, how is it possible? He made a question. There was a question mark on the face of Mr. Rubin. And Prabhupada added to the last line, he said, only time is separating. Only time is separating. Here, one thing, you know, when we see in these pastimes, one thing is very clear. Prabhupada had complete faith in Guru and Gauranga. Complete faith. Complete faith. Every time Prabhupada would use this word we, even in the purports we see, he says we. We are preaching the mission of Krishna consciousness. We were able to establish this. Because you know, one of the disciples of Prabhupada, Indrajitna Swami Maharaj, it seems he writes or he speaks about this. And he gives a purport about this we. He says Prabhupada would say this we always because he was always in this consciousness that he is not alone. Entire Guru Parampara is there with him. Always. This was the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Always he would think this. My spiritual master is there with me. Krishna is there with me. And you know, why fear? Why fear? Yes. This was the mood of Srila Prabhupada always. And so at this point of time also, he said, we have many temples. We have many temples. Yes. So in this way, Prabhupada was really helpless. We can imagine. I can imagine. No response from the other side. And there's a huge mission on Prabhupada's head. Such a great burden of love which is there on Prabhupada. And Prabhupada is finding there's no ray of hope from anywhere. No ray of hope from anywhere. In this, there was one thing that was giving happiness to Prabhupada. One thing. There were some books which Prabhupada had kept in one of the libraries there. Every day Prabhupada would go to the library. He would open that book. And the last, there would be a card which talks about this book was issued to whom. Yes. And Prabhupada would remove that card and he would see that, this book was issued to this person, this book was issued to this person. He would look at that and he would get a ray of hope thinking, there is some scope here also. People are interested in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So that was the only happiness that Prabhupada would get in this entire turmoil, an entire sad situation that Prabhupada was going through, where he was not seeing any other ray of hope for building a temple. Now he was there in this room 302. Now what used to happen in this room 302? Hope you remember 302 is a room where Prabhupada shifted from Dr. Mishra's yoga studio. Now in that room he would give classes to these people who are least interested, who are not understanding what is going on, what Prabhupada is speaking. But one thing they knew was this person is genuine. Yes, this they knew very well. In fact, it is described that there would be one person who would come to Srila Prabhupada with, he was working in some restaurant. He would come with some eatables to Srila Prabhupada. So, one of my friend was sharing this. He had gone to one of the restaurant and he ordered a veg sandwich. He was telling that was the last time I went to the restaurant. Because when he ordered for a veg sandwich, he opened and he could see some non-veg stuff in that. There was some egg and there was some pieces of some meat in that. And then, this is veg only. According to them, that was veg. You can imagine, now this person was getting from some restaurant, what will be there in this food. But Prabhupada would accept it with so much of love and affection. Because Prabhupada was seeing, not the foodstuff, but Prabhupada was seeing this is an offering that the person is giving. And you'd accept, you know, that with so much of love and affection. Yes, that person writes that I gave and Prabhupada accepted all the time, but I never saw Prabhupada eating. This he writes. This he tells. You can see the mood of Srila Prabhupada. There was one person who was coming very regularly to Srila Prabhupada. Now this person who was there was very, dumb-like person. Jobless, not very intelligent. He will not understand the philosophy also. But he had some attraction towards Srila Prabhupada, some connection which was there. And Prabhupada would give the entire philosophy to him. Hours together he'll give classes to him. And he'll not understand much. And then he would tell big plans to Srila Prabhupada. He would say that I'll set up a recording industry and many, many dollars will come and I'll give you a lot of money, you can build temple. Prabhupada is a person born and brought up in Kolkata. Yes? Very intelligent, very smart. You can see various interviews and all. Obviously, he understood what sort of person he is. But only thing that Prabhupada saw in this person was he has some interest in Krishna consciousness. In fact, I guess he writes a letter also to Tirtha Swami that there is a prospective disciple of mine. He writes a letter. Prospective disciple. Pointing to this person. So now, this boy would take Prabhupada to different places and he would say, Prabhupada, I think we should go to this place. We should buy this place. I'll sponsor, not a problem. No money with this person also. So two paupers roaming around New York, seeing different places and saying, we buy this place, that place. This was the mood which was going on around. But one day, a very bad thing happened. So Prabhupada went out to give these books in different storehouses, the bookstores, and check with them if the books are sold. When he came back, his only dictaphone and only typewriter was stolen. Prabhupada's heart broke at that time. And that time Prabhupada decided, and there were some proposals to Srila Prabhupada that there's a very nice place, you can shift at that place. Now that place was the hub of all the hippies, that is Bowery. For the first time Prabhupada is going to enter such a nice dirty place called Bowery. Now the person who was offering this place, his mood was, anyway I'm going to move out of this place. He was very much frustrated with that place. So he wanted to move out of the place and he was coming to meet Srila Prabhupada very often in this 302 room. So there he would say that, Prabhupada, you shift to this place, it's a very nice place, there you can preach much better. So he moved out to a different place and Prabhupada entered that place. Now you can imagine, this was a real struggle. When Prabhupada went to that place, it was a real struggle. All hippies around, you never know what is going to happen. There will be a lot of screaming sound around. People would just drink and will be full drug addicted and they'll be just sleeping around on the roads. Very, very, very dirty. The place will not be cleaned. Very stinky. In fact, at one of the places, Prabhupada says that it was stinking like dog stool. The entire place was stinking like dog stool. That's what Prabhupada says. Very, very pathetic situation what Prabhupada was in. But in this condition, there were some hopes where some people would come and hear Srila Prabhupada. There was Michael Grant who would come, who was later Mukunda. Jane was later Janaki. All these people would come to this place to hear. Prabhupada would share his room with another personality called David. They both were staying together in that particular house. Now David was a very nice person. Prabhupada knew that he is a very nice person. But then one day he started behaving very, very weird. Drug overdose, and he was behaving very, very weird. He started screaming and he started yelling out and giving abusive words, and he took up a very deadly weapon-like thing and he started running behind Srila Prabhupada to kill him out of nowhere. Prabhupada ran for his life from that place. Yes. So it is described that he would cross, he would jump on various bodies which were lying there, and Prabhupada was running out from that place. This is how it is described. Yes. So many people would come to Srila Prabhupada, they would say that, Prabhupada, why don't you shift to another place? Now another place, there was no money with Srila Prabhupada. Now, how will Prabhupada shift to any other place? This is hardly any place, hardly a place that Prabhupada got, and there Prabhupada would translate his books, and he would be there somehow. No, with no tension of paying rent and things like that. Yes. But then Prabhupada said, okay, we can move. But then, because now after seeing David like this, Prabhupada had a mission in front of him. Yes. So Prabhupada said, okay, I would like to move. But then where to move now? He moved to a house of one couple, Karl and Eva. A small room this couple was staying in. Very dirty house. It is described that they would not take baths for weeks together. And Prabhupada was staying in that place because he had no option. He cannot go back to the house where he was staying with David. He cannot go back to that place. But somehow managed that place for some time. And finally, by the arrangement of the Lord, now there were many people who came, and this 26th Second Avenue, that place was bought for rent. And Michael Grant and Janney and others who were there later, who were known as Mukunda, Janaki, Brahmananda, and others, yes, they all got that place and they were working for Srila Prabhupada, and they would get the money for rent. And Prabhupada started staying in that particular place. Prabhupada established one very, very important organization which we all are connected to. So Prabhupada went to what do you call that as? Establishing the place?
Registering.
Registering the place. There were four people with Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada went to that place. This was 13th of July 1966. When did Srila Prabhupada start his journey? Anyone remembers?
August.
August 13th, 1965. Not even 1 year completed. Not even 1 year properly completed. And here Prabhupada establishing ISKCON. Yes. He has gone for registration. And then they are thinking of a name. Prabhupada already has a name. And Prabhupada says, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And the four people are looking at each other, international? Four people in international. So he established ISKCON at this particular place. It is called as Matchless Gift Shop. That's how it is named, that every place is Matchless Gift Shop. Yes. We also have one here. So when this place was bought for rent, a lot of things started in this place. Many classes would start. We saw the flyer one day, Harishchandra who had circulated. So in that flyer, very nice thing was written. What was that line? That line said, "Stay high forever." This was the line which was there at the top. Stay high forever. And that place, everyone is hankering to stay high forever by taking drugs and other things. But then it was like, stay high forever. And then there were details which were given. I think Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, some sessions. 3 days Prabhupada would give class in this particular place. And there was a board which was output outside this matchless gift shop, which said that Bhagavad Gita classes happen here. Now see, when it comes to giving classes, it was not easy. Yes. So it is said, even now, one of the devotee was sharing. Invest, if someone crosses the time, like I have crossed today. Yes, like when someone crosses the time, it seems they ring the bell, it says. Doesn't matter even if it's sannyasi speaking. So they'll ring the bell saying, time up, now you have to end. And they have to end, no option. Even today this happens in the West. Yes, I'll not tell which place. So you can imagine what was happening during Prabhupada's time. Prabhupada would sing Jai Radha Madhav, he would start his class. Now the audience would not be as submissive as the audience here. Very difficult. Very different audience altogether. They would drink and come. They would take drugs and come. They would sit. Prabhupada is speaking about Krishna. Prabhupada would speak big philosophy. One of the places it has given that Prabhupada started speaking out Panchatattva. He started saying that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the combined incarnation of Radha Krishna. Nityananda is Balaram. Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu and Sadashiv. Srivas is Narada Muni and Gadadhar is Srimati Radharani. You can imagine they don't know who they are. At least when you know who Krishna, Srimati Radharani, Sadashiv and all of them, you can still connect to. These people don't know. And Prabhupada is speaking, about this. And there it is written, that the lecture was very, very heavy. Always Prabhupada lectures would be heavy. So one devotee, I don't remember the name, I'm very poor at remembering names. So one devotee, he calls up another devotee. And he says, a very nice lecture is going on, please come. And the next line he says, I'm not able to understand anything, but it's very nice, please come. they just wanted to sit near Prabhupada. This is what they knew. Because that place, no one loved the hippies, and they knew very well that this Swami, this old man, loves us a lot. In fact, they say that, you know, some of the disciples in their offerings, they would say that we were not knowing who Krishna is, and we were least bothered to know who Krishna is, but we knew who Prabhupada is, and we were ready to give our life for Srila Prabhupada. This was the mood of Srila Prabhupada, disciples. So now Prabhupada is giving class in this particular place where all hippies are sitting. One day, this was a common thing where suddenly someone would start screaming. Very, very common. Prabhupada is giving class and suddenly someone would start screaming, and then Prabhupada would tell that, no, please take that person out. So one day, when Prabhupada is giving class, one person got up. He said, "Can you see God?" Just imagine, Prabhupada is speaking and then suddenly he says, "Can you see God?" And Prabhupada, in a very grave, in a very nice, witty sense, he said, "Sit down, you're coming in between." So you can imagine how Prabhupada is handling these people. But when Prabhupada would do kirtan, that was really amazing. Everyone would go crazy, everyone. There are some videos, even now we can see, that people are closing their eyes and they're in ecstasy. They're in ecstasy, they're chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, they're in ecstasy. But then Prabhupada was thinking, every time we arrange a program, only 4 people are coming, 5 people are coming, what is this? When I was reading this, I got some hope for college preaching. Then Prabhupada said that, no, nothing doing, we'll do something better. So Prabhupada said, we'll do kirtan on the street. For the first time in the history of Kali Yuga, at least, you know, in this particular century, the Sankirtan was going to happen on the streets in the West. Never ever this has happened in the Western countries. No sannyasi who came did Kirtan on the streets. In fact, when Prabhupada proposed this idea of doing Kirtan on the streets in the famous garden, which is Washington Square Park or Thompson Square Park, even now it is, you know, written as Prabhupada's tree or something like that, even now it is written. Yes. When Prabhupada proposed this, all the disciples who were there, all the students, they were puzzled and they were feeling very, very odd. They said, how can we go and do outside? We have never done this outside. And Prabhupada told them, don't worry, you just come with me. Prabhupada was always very, very strong with his opinions. And was very, very strong with his faith in Krishna. Very strong. He had complete faith in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He said, we'll go and we'll do kirtan. And then they went to the garden. Prabhupada sat under a tree on the grass. And there the watchman came, the guard. He said, can't you see that? No, you cannot sit on the grass. There was a board which was written. You cannot sit on the grass, something like that. So Prabhupada got up from that place. Just the grass ends and, you know, some footpath starts. So he sat there. And then he started his kirtan. No difference in the mood. From one place he got up, other place he went and started doing kirtan. Initially, all the disciples, they were just, you know, singing very, very softly. It was not a very welcoming thing for them. For the first time, they are in the open and they are singing. They were used to sitting in the within the 4 walls. But now, they were there in open and everyone were looking at them. And Prabhupada is in ecstasy. He is singing the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He is singing with a lot of faith and devotion, calling out for Krishna. He had this one particular faith, one strong faith, that the Hare Krishna Mahamantra can deliver anyone and everyone. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And with that faith, Prabhupada was singing this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And the kirtan started growing. The pitch started increasing. Everyone around started singing. And newcomers started joining. People started dancing. And for the first time in the history of West, there was the Hare Krishna kirtan which was happening very, very tumultuously. Very, very tumultuously. And this particular point of time, when Prabhupada got up from that place, when he started going to the gift shop, the matchless gift shop, many, many hippies, many, many newcomers started following Srila Prabhupada. The scene is almost like in our childhood, we have heard this. The person started playing the flute and many rats started following. I hope, you know, we have heard this story. So like that, many, many people started following Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada started telling them, this is how we give classes. This is the place where we have the classes. and this is what we speak about, stay high forever and so on and so forth. There was a pot of lot of ISKCON bullets kept, the Gulab Jamuns kept, and there was no restriction. Anyone can pop n number of times, how much ever they want. Yes, lot of systematic arrangement which Srila Prabhupada would make, but the thing was, Prabhupada would do it alone, single-handedly. He would cook alone, and the feast which is mentioned is really huge, and then he would serve by himself, and then when everyone leaves, he would clean the place, he would wash the vessels, and it would be very, very late at night doing all these things. And then he would hardly sleep. This was the time when Prabhupada hardly slept. For a few hours he would sleep, again get up, start translating Srimad Bhagavatam, and he was on his mission, thinking always. In fact, one time when the class went for a long time and there was a lot of discussion, that particular night Prabhupada got chest pain. And everyone knew that Prabhupada is not doing well. And then Prabhupada went to sleep, then he got up the next day. Now the thing was, no one was having guts to ask Prabhupada how is his health. So much of love and affection they had. Then everyone sat, and then everyone like, you ask, no one was asking. Prabhupada looked at all of them and Prabhupada spoke. He said that we have to preach this mission of Krishna consciousness all over the world. Now this was very difficult for people there to digest, because they were thinking about his health and Prabhupada is not thinking about his own health. He's just thinking about how to preach the mission of Krishna consciousness all over the world. Mukunda and Janaki, who are Michael Grant and Janay, they were sent to San Francisco, and they invited Srila Prabhupada for Mantra Rock. So our Kirtan started with rock only. Yes. So Prabhupada went there, and Prabhupada had a very, very nice time where he sang for a long, long time. And some devotees helped him out to record his Kirtans. So there also it was late night and Prabhupada was recording. The person who was recording was saying that maybe Swamiji, you can take rest. And Prabhupada is like, no, it's very nice. We all are singing Hare Krishna Kirtan. Let's do Hare Krishna Kirtan. That is the day when Prabhupada got the chest pain. Yes. So in this way, we see that how Srila Prabhupada single-handedly set it up. This entire house, which the whole world can stay in. And I feel very, very fortunate now being a full-time. In fact, when I was aspiring to be a full-time devotee here, so I used to beg and pray to Srila Prabhupada that please give me shelter in your house. It is said that everyone gets shelter here. Now why don't you give me also the shelter here? It feels very, very fortunate to be under the shelter of such a great personality, such a genuine person. The messenger of Godhead. Yes. Like the daughter of Sally said, Swami Jesus. Yes. The prophet. So because of him, we see today that all over the world, now we have Sankirtan going on. In fact, last to last year, when we met in ILS, when we had gone to ILS, ISKCON Leadership Sangha, so there they were glorifying Prabhupada. And it was really nice glorification. They would say that now we have such a big team of all senior devotees, but still we are not able to manage ISKCON properly. And look at Prabhupada, he would manage all the centers, all the 108 centers, just by letters. Now writing letters was not that easy, because Prabhupada would travel from one place to another. He would not stay at one place. So now if I am writing a letter to Srila Prabhupada, so I should know what is itinerary, where he is going next. So if he is there at one place and he is going to another place in 3 days, and I know my letter is going to reach that place in 3 days, so I am supposed to write letter to the venue B and not the venue A. Yes. So much of analysis people had to do to write letters, and similarly Prabhupada would do analysis and write letters. Yes. And Prabhupada would have his big sign. One of the people who analyze the signatures would say that Prabhupada had a lot of time, it seems. He said, the one who saw that sign, he said, Prabhupada had a lot of time. He was a very, very peaceful person. Yes. But then we understand how packed he was. Completely packed. Yes. So I was saying that, yes, we are very, very fortunate. It feels very nice that we are there under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. This is a very, very auspicious day. When a Vaishnava disappears from this world, all his glories are revealed. Yes. Because when a Vaishnava takes birth, he has not performed any pastime, so no glories are revealed at that time. So disappearance day is celebrated with even more pomp, because now people understand the glories of the Vaishnava, because he has revealed his glories. throughout his pastimes. Yes. So on this auspicious day of his disappearance, let's pray to Srila Prabhupada that he empowers us to at least maintain what he has given. Now obviously, taking it ahead is very difficult, we see. At least maintain what Srila Prabhupada has given. He empowers us to at least help make the words of his disciple to make Bangalore the first Krishna conscious city to come true. He empowers us to practice devotional service with more and more intensity. He empowers us to remember the lotus feet of Sri Sri Gaur Nithai, constantly, all the time. He empowers us to follow his instruction of never leave ISKCON, come what may. Yes. With this, I would like to end today's long session on Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.